Let me ask you then if you would get access to a Bible, and let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 8 and verse 9. Are you there? If you're not there by now, just stop wherever you are and act like you are there. None of the rest of us will know the difference. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 and verse 9. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. The Apostle Paul states here that there was an occasion in Asia where he was in great trouble. The trouble was so severe, he describes it at the end of verse 8 by saying that we despaired even of our lives. Now I want you to think about who said that. The Apostle Paul was a man of incredible strength. Later on in this same letter, in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul lists some of his sufferings. He says, 5 times I received of the Jews a beating, 195 lashes were placed across his back. His back had to look something other than human. He says, 3 times the Romans took rods and they beat me. He says, once I was stoned and left outside the city for dead. He said, numerous occasions I was shipwrecked. And in that same context of 2 Corinthians 11, 8 times he uses the expression, I was in peril, that is great danger. 8 times. So here is a man who endured persecution. Here was a man who endured things that you and I don't even have nightmares about. And yet, when we come to this passage, Paul says that there was one time he said, I thought it was over. He said, I thought this was it. Let me ask you something. Have you ever felt that way? Has there ever been an occasion in your life when you were so overwhelmed? When you had become so entangled by the circumstances of life that you thought to yourself, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to make this. And you honestly thought you were in despair of your lives. Now, if you have ever been there, I want you to understand that you are not alone. Because the greatest missionary who ever lived said at the end of verse 8, there was a time in my life when he said, I despaired even for my life. He then says in verse 9, but he said, I just kept trusting in God. And I kept relying on God. And I kept relying on God. And I just kept trusting in God. And Paul says that God delivered me. But I want you to understand, here it is. There was a reason that Paul was delivered. Paul was delivered because God has a plan. Now look at 2 Corinthians 1. Here's how this is going to unfold. We're going to read two more verses. This is the plan. We're then going to very quickly dissect these two verses. We're going to set forth in front of us this plan, and then we'll make two observations about it. God has a plan, and that's why God delivered Paul. 2 Corinthians 1, now look at it closely, verse 3 and verse 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. Now look at the end of verse 3. Paul says that God is the God of all, here is the word, comfort. Now, in order to be helpful, in order for us to have a more broader understanding, the word comfort is a form of the word paraclete. Listen, stay with me for a minute. It's actually two words that the Apostle Paul rammed together. The first word is to call, and the second is alongside. And he rams them together, to call alongside. The word is that when we call someone alongside of us and they give us help, we call someone alongside of us and they give us strength. We call someone alongside of us and they give us comfort and they give us confidence so that we can carry on. Paul says, look at the end of verse 3, Paul says that God is the God of all paraclete, of all comfort. Watch verse 4, who comforts. The word comforts in verse 4, the beginning, is actually different than the word comfort at the end of verse 3. You say it looks the same. Trust me, it's different. Now, look at the translation you got in your hand. In verse 4, the word comfort is in a plural, it comes at us in a plural sense. There's S on the end in verse 4, there's not in verse 3. But more than that, in verse 4, comforts presents itself in a present tense form. What that means is that this is something that God constantly does. God constantly comes alongside and comforts us. God constantly comes alongside and gives us hope. God constantly comes alongside and gives us strength and gives us confidence. You got it? Look at verse 3 and 4 again. Now here is the plan. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort. Who comforts us in all of our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Now, here is the plan. God allows his people to hurt, to have pain. God will even allow his people to despair of life itself. So that in our hurt and in our suffering, in our despair, we then go to God. God, help me in my pain. God, help me in my despair. God, help me get up off my knees. God, help me here. We go to God. We ask God for help and strength. God helps us. And God gives us strength. The plan then is that we take what God has given us, then we go out and find someone who is hurting and who's in despair as we are, and we share with them that comfort that God has shared with us. That's the plan. What a plan. Who is better qualified to help the bereaved than one at one time who was bereaved? Who is better qualified to help the downtrodden than one who at one point in their life was downtrodden themselves? Who is better qualified to help the brokenhearted than one who at one time had had their heart ripped out of them emotionally? Listen, don't you become bitter when life hurts you, because bitterness is not the plan. Don't turn around and walk away from the Lord because you think life has been unfair. Walking, quitting ain't the plan. Blaming God for what's wrong in your life. Listen, pointing fingers is not the plan. The plan is that we go to God in times of our affliction and God gives us comfort. That is, God comes alongside of us and he helps us and he comforts and strengthens us. Then we take that comfort and strength and we come alongside of somebody else who's suffering the same thing and we share with them that comfort that God has shared with us. The very fact that this plan exists The very fact that these verses are in the Bible leads us to understand two things. The fact that there is such a plan teaches us two things. Number one, it teaches us that every Christian has a ministry. Now, that's not how we tend to think. When I was 2 weeks old, my mother wrapped me in a blanket and brought me to church, and I've been coming ever since. That's not what I was taught to think. What we have been led to think is that the preacher and the elders have a ministry. And they know how to sit somebody down and talk with somebody and help with somebody. And that's what we have been led to think. But what we need to come to the realization of is this. And that is, absolutely every Christian has a function in helping others who are hurting if God has helped you. God intends that every Christian who has ever come to him for help, take that help and comfort and share that with somebody else. All of us need to understand this morning. All of us need to understand this. There are people out there. There are people in here today, right now, who are where you used to be. Nobody can help them more than you can help them. You have already stood in their shoes. You've already walked a mile in where they have walked. Listen, you can talk to them. You understand it. Listen, I'm saying you need to help. You need to help. You lost a job. Remember the anxiety that brought you? Remember the knot that put in your stomach? And you told yourself, listen, what am I going to do here? I have a house to pay for. I have kids. I have a family that has to be clothed. I have a family that has to be fed. And you went through that and you worked yourself through that. There are others who have lost jobs. Listen, they need the help that God gave you when you went through that. Remember that phone call in the middle of the night? Telling you your mother, your father has been taken to the emergency room. And you jumped out and headed to that emergency room. And you paced that thing for hours, waiting for him to come and tell you something. And the news they came and told you was not news you wanted to hear. There are others right now who've lost loved ones. They're dealing with what you've already dealt with. They're trying to find which end is up here. You've been there. You know. You can talk to them. You can help them to give them some kind of insight. If nothing else, look, you're not the only one. Just when you're going through something, if you can find out you're not the only one, even that helps a little. You went to the doctor? We're going to run some tests. And those tests came back. You have cancer. You've been through the treatments. You've had the chemo. You've had the radiation. You've dealt with that. There are others waiting right now on test results. If they hear that, their lives are going to be turned upside down just like yours was. Those of us who've never been through such a thing, we can't talk to them in the same vein that you can because you've been there. I'm saying to you this morning, every single struggle that we have ever come through has put us in a position to help others who will follow after us, who will be put in that same position. In the good name of the dear Lord, what God has helped you with, find somebody and help them. This doesn't end with you. This doesn't end with you. Paul said, I despaired of life, but I kept trusting God, and God delivered me. God has a plan, Paul. He delivered you, and he's delivered me because he still has a plan. And that plan is that we go to God, we ask God to help us, God comes alongside and helps us, and then we take that help and we share it with somebody else. And by everybody doing that, that's God's plan to help the world that's hurting. Every Christian has a ministry. The second thought this morning is this. Not only does every Christian have a ministry, but we need to understand that all of us have tremendous worth. Tremendous worth. Here's what I mean. The world may look at you and say you don't matter. The world may see no value in you. The world may look at you and dismiss you for what you don't have. But understand, that's not how God sees any of us. What God says is that you're a specialist. You're a specialist. And any time you take what God has given to you and you give that to somebody else, you are the greatest somebody that the world has ever seen. I want you to understand what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is something that will bring a purpose to your pain. You understand that? I'm talking about something that can take the greatest defeat and the humiliation in your life and help to bring you victory if you'll use that to help somebody else find their way. The struggles we go through, the hard times, the trials and the disappointments we go through, every single one of them was training us. They were training us to become a part of the greatest army that the world has ever known, and that is the army of God, and that is an army that's made up exclusively of wounded soldiers. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a museum. This is not a place where we come in and show off our perfection. The church is a hospital where folks are hurt, can come and find help from others who are there, who've gone through what they've gone through, who've asked God to help them, and they're willing to share that with somebody else. I don't care how bad your loss was. I don't care how bad the defeat was. I don't care how humiliating the humiliation was. You can help somebody with that. Years ago, there was a man who lost $5 million in 30 days in investments and such. He lost everything. He was a joke. So the man came back and started giving a speech. How to lose $5 million in 30 days. He went all over the country giving that one speech to investors, to companies, to bankers. And in the speech, he told exactly what happened. He says, here is exactly what I thought. Here is exactly what I did. Here is exactly the way I did it. Now, don't do any of that. When he died, he is worth $10 million. Listen to me. What's your specialty? What's your specialty? Is it a prolonged illness? What's your specialty? Have you lost a loved one? What is your specialty? Has your heart been broken? Have your dreams been shattered on the pavement of reality? What is your specialty? Whatever it is that you have gone to God and asked God to give you strength with, whatever you have asked God to give you comfort and help with, you stand up and you go find somebody who is suffering from exactly the same thing, and you share with them that comfort that God has shared with you. And you explain to them, you were in those shoes, you didn't see a way out, but God provided a way out for me, and God can provide a way out for you. Look at the plan. Look at the plan. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts continually us in all of our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I encourage you this morning to take the comfort that God has given you and to share it with somebody else. God's plan to help the hurting is marvelously simple, and it's simply marvelous. God helps us, and we help others. This morning, if you're here and if you're not a Christian, we're going to give you an opportunity to become a New Testament Christian this morning. Jesus said in John 8 that unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come. In Luke 13 and in verse 3, Jesus says, I tell you, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. In Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus says, if you will confess me before my Father, I will confess you before men. And in Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the plan of salvation in the words of Jesus. If you've never done that, you need to do it this morning. If you've allowed your trials and your afflictions to take you away from God, you need to come back. Leaving God isn't a plan. Getting help from God is the plan that you can share it with others. If you're here this morning, if you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, may God help you to come forward right now as together we stand and as we sing.